Thomas Paine Podcast, Paine in the Morning, 9-9-20, September 9th, 2020, Wednesday, Paine in the Morning. I'm the machine head today. This is the first leg of two podcasts. We got the Paine in the Morning, and then we got the big Wednesday podcast. You're going to stay tuned for that. We'll be breaking some news on that like we usually do. It's rare for a big Wednesday to go by without breaking some news from our end. Today's no exception. Special thanks and heads up to everybody out there on TruePundit.com/. Incorrect. True Pundit for the traffic on True Pundit. We appreciate the traffic, but special shout out to everybody on Patreon.com/TruePundit. Who's the machine head now? This portion of the show is brought to you by Joe Biden.
Bill J's getting confidence. He won't go back and edit that stuff out. He won't do it. He doesn't care. I like it.
Let's try it again. My Joe Biden. He's right down the road a couple miles from here. So I see the Secret Service guys all the time. Shout out to the folks on Patreon.com/TruePundit and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit for subscribing to us and supporting us. You get the video podcast of this. We're coming off the More Paine show last night. And we also rolled out the Paine After Dark show. So we got all this stuff going. So I'm the machine head on Tuesday and Wednesday. Little Bush. We appreciate the support on those platforms. So if you have a couple extra bucks, you want to throw it our way, we'll put it to good use. We're not supported by millionaires or billionaires. And it shows. We're actually breaking news. I don't know what those people are breaking. A lot of wind, I think, is what they're breaking. Used to play that song at when I was up in North Jersey. We used to go see the Devils play. Flyers come to town and go to the Devils games. Finish up early on deadline at the newspaper, you go over to the Devils game. Finish up early working for the FBI, DEA. After my newspaper career, Devils games. At the Brendan Byrne Arena, remember that place? They don't play there anymore, obviously. The place doesn't exist anymore, but... So the good old days. That cement... The place was like a cement catacomb, that place. I used to play a lot of Bush back then. Back in the day. My old partner's listening. I don't even think I have permission to use his name yet. But we'll get to it. You got to take it easy on this show. People like... There's a whole contingency of weirdos, right-wing stalkers on the left. They stalk people on this show. I mean, it's insane. So we have to be careful whose name we mention. You don't want him to get stalked. But if he's listening, he'll be laughing. A hardened Devils fan and this Flyers fan down here. The Devils have had their numbers for years. And I hear about it every time. Believe me. Let's get started. We got a lot of news. Stay tuned later for the Big Wednesday podcast, as I said. And spread it around. Yeah, wave bye-bye. Don't wave bye-bye to the story. Wave bye-bye to the bus. Wave bye-bye to the bus. please spread our stuff around. To get around these social media overlords and tyrants. Everybody's a tyrant these days. Everybody has their little fiefdom. They're fucking with everybody else. I don't like it. Let's move on. Headline. Thousands of cases, but zero hospitalizations in colleges. This is good news, but the states and the colleges forced draconian lockdowns anyway. It's tough to be true to your school when this nonsense is going on with these tyrants running it. After being open for weeks, college campuses have no reported deaths or even hospitalizations that can be found. You might wonder and say that's because they've done such an amazing job preventing cases. Nope. They have tons of reported cases. Dr. Andrew Bostom, a cardiovascular and epidemiology researcher, posted a spreadsheet on Twitter of all the cases in 17 state university systems as of September 4th. There's not one single hospitalization among them at all. How is this an emergency situation? If anything, the fact that there are so many cases is a blessing because with such a young population, these cases are a de facto vaccine creating herd immunity without danger. There's no herd immunity when they want to collect that tuition, no. It's definitely a herd of do-nothing administrators and professors. These guys in college, they do nothing. They're like hobos. Paid hobos. They sit around and think that they're special. You could be replaced by a fucking $36 book. And your $200 book can also be replaced by a $36 book. Despite this blessing, the University of Arizona has hired a private security company to patrol and ensure compliance and health and safety directives on campus. Essentially turning the campus into a prison and criminalizing the lives of young adults who have near zero risk from the virus. They must be suffering the epidemic of the century there in order to warrant such heavy-handed policing, right? What? You know, these guys could have used a go to little Elvis Costello, those Beach Boys, charm school. These college administrators are the worst. They're tyrants. They could use a couple semesters at charm school. Well, according to Dr. Richard Carmona at the College of Public Health at the University of Arizona, they found a few cases at a sorority house and were able to identify very early before anybody was symptomatic that there were sick people in their dorm. Then there's the issue of what exactly these PCR, PBR tests? No, that was my college. We had PBR tests. That's blue ribbon. Which actually are probably more accurate than the CDC's PCR tests. There's the issue of what exactly these PCR tests are detecting. Many of them could be false positives. Many of them have been false positives. Insignificant viral loads. Or the dead RNA of a virus that passed weeks ago still being carried around in the students' nasal passages. A lot's changed. It's not what we were carrying around. I say we, loosely, in our nasal passages in the 1980s.
Get up here, Mildred. This is going to get good.
There's no metric for any of this being monitored in the testing. The irony of the University of Arizona using positive testing of benign cases as the baseline for such draconian measures is that so many of those tests run and turned out to be false positives. Out of the 13 positive results among members of the university's athletics department last week, 11 of them turned out to be false upon retesting. University of Arizona has an athletic department. That's news.
Hey, man, those guys are... Is that the Sun Devils, man?
Or is that Arizona State University? I can't keep track. I know Arizona State University has got a serious partying scene. from college recruiters. Yes, there's D1 hockey down there. I hear it's a pretty good time. Evidently, negative tests aren't even enough to escape the clutches of tyranny. Last Monday, Ohio Health Director Lance D. Himes, that guy got his ass whooped in school. Lance is having a tough time in school. Can you get Mrs. Himes on the phone? Lance is struggling. You want to come in for a session? For a conference? He's having a tough year.
This is his fourth tough year in a row.
Well, Lance is just... he's a sensitive kid. Ohio Health Director Lance D. Himes. There's so many rhymes you can do with Himes. He would have been dead meat in my school. Signed an order requiring even students who test negative to be isolated in a quarantine house on campus. Oh, that's good. It includes asymptomatic individuals or even those merely exposed to a COVID-positive individual. They'd be barred from exiting the quarantine house without written permission from a health official. So that's pretty good. I would have liked that. You could... That's finally an excuse not to go to class. I ran out of those. Freshman year. You sign up for those 8 a.m. classes freshman year. You make the first two and you're like, fuck this. I'm not going to that. 8 a.m.? I just got in. This is a mandate for de facto prison. All for an epidemic built on false or notional positives with no health risks beyond the ordinary bugs that spread on campuses every year. Ohio State University is conducting mandatory random testing of 8,000 students each week via their surveillance testing program. I bet you that's fucking accurate. Hopefully it doesn't tell you what else is in your bloodstream. Somebody say sororities earlier? I'll play a little hot for teacher. I don't know. These things just... Always have to have a little Van Halen at your fingertips. Colleges are the worst. These guys are the worst. These administrators, I went head-to-head with them in a couple different colleges. They're the biggest tyrants. I've talked about it on here before. I'm not going to do it again at Rutgers and beyond. It's fun playing chicken with them because they are chickens. They always lose when you play chicken with them, especially when you lawyer up and you're like 20, 21. You show up with a lawyer, they're like, yeah, this guy's pretty slick. We thought we were going to push him around. He showed up with a lawyer. Give me something to write on. If you're my age, I mean, come on. That song, that video. They don't make them like that anymore. I don't even know what they make now. It's like it's literally garbage. Headline. Reports linking 30 to 35% of Big Ten athletes with COVID to myocarditis were inaccurate. Oh, of course. How about little Jackson Brown? Inaccurate headlines can cause an uproar, as we found out last week when it was falsely reported that an astonishing 30 to 35% of Big Ten college athletes that were positive for COVID also had myocarditis. Inflammation of the heart muscle. Am I saying that right? I get mixed up with medical stuff. Sounds right. I sounded it out. Hooked on phonics. You know, as a journalist, it's basic word building we have a problem with. We can conduct a hell of an interview or break a story, but we can't write. It was an astonishing figure that May left the world thinking if 30 to 35% of college athletes were getting it, surely everyone else was getting it too. Some of these folks, some of these trainers and stuff at colleges are idiots. Take it from me. Well, when we looked at our COVID positive athletes, whether they were symptomatic or not, 30 to roughly 35% of their heart muscles are inflamed. This is from Penn State's football doctor. This guy's a real genius. And we really just don't know what to do with it right now. Still very early in the infection. Some of that has led to the Pac-12 and the Big Ten's decision to sort of put a hiatus on what's happening. Penn State Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli. This crazy Italian. Mafia is going to be looking for him. There's no college football. That's the over-under on Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli. Not going to be called Happy Valley when the mob, the mob comes up 322. Reports like the one in USA Today read, cardiac scans of Big Ten athletes who contracted COVID-19 showed 30 to roughly 35% of their heart muscles indicated symptoms of myocarditis. If I'm not saying that right, I don't care. And lo and behold, more information did become available. Turns out the earlier headlines and information simply weren't true. This is doctor up at Penn State. State College. What's he testing players with? A fucking Primanti sandwich? Penn State football's got a lot of problems. Believe me, I know. I can't say how, but I know. I'm not even allowed to tell you about him. His family issues, damn it. Always holding me back, loyalty to family members. And what can only be described as a barrage of corrections from places like the Washington Post and CNN published less than 48 hours from the original report, it was revealed that the doctor was intentionally citing outdated numbers. Imagine if this was your kid. You get the call, right? If you're the parent of an athlete or the in the immediate family of college athletes, and I speak from experience, you worry about these kids, especially these big football players. My God, they're so big. I don't even know how they got that big. I mean, they're massive. I'm not a small guy, and I get ragdolled all the time by my nephew. I mean, throws me around like nothing. But you worry about these guys, and then you're the parents, and you find out, oh my God, they've enlarged hearts with everything else they have to deal with. These big guys, 300, 320, 330. Then it turns out, oh, it's just bullshit. Oh, thanks to the team doctor. Thanks, idiot. A spokesman for the school's health department clarified during his discussion with board members, Sebastianelli recalled initial preliminary data that had been verbally shared by a colleague on a forthcoming study, which, unbeknownst to him at the time, had been published at a lower rate. Additionally, some have inferred his comments may have related directly to Penn State student-athletes. At this time, there have been no cases of myocarditis and COVID-19 positive student-athletes at Penn State. Regardless, the Big Ten Conference has already announced that it would be postponing fall sports as a result of the coronavirus. So look no further. Who was he talking about? Who was the Penn State football doctor talking about if he wasn't talking about Penn State kids? Who's he talking about? People at IUP? Oh, he's talking about Pitt students, right? The Penn State-Pitt rivalry? Or was he talking about Ohio State students? Hey, buddy. Hey, there's another Italian doctor who's as stupid as you are. And maybe you can apply to work under him, Dr. Fauci. Two Goombas down there. You can spill a box of croutons on the table and roll some dice and screw up some more people's lives, please. We would appreciate it. Just when you thought you couldn't screw up more people's lives. Here comes another doctor and they have to walk it back. Oh, yeah, he wasn't talking about, in fact, he wasn't talking about students at all. He was talking about farm animals because, you know, our 4-H program in Penn State is pretty progressive. And I think he was talking about farm animals. Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. Give me a fucking break, these guys. Jesus, God almighty. This guy go to medical school, Guam. Headline, couple arrested for not wearing a face mask on the New York City ferry. Oh, New York City and masks. Let's go to a little Phantom of the Opera. We're breaking out a little Andrew Lloyd Webber. NYPD hassling the entire nation. Wear your mask today. Hide your face away. They're arresting people for not wearing masks in New York. You can firebomb a police car. Or smash or burn down a building. Or crack somebody over the head with a skateboard or a pipe. Where's the Phantom when we need him? Real Phantom of the Opera to straighten some of these people out. A Brooklyn couple was arrested and taking off a New York City ferry. How about removed from a New York City ferry? Taken off a New York City ferry. That's in handcuffs on Saturday after they refused to wear face masks. And you know all the Karens in New York are like, call the NYPD. We're going to get these guys. Call Port Authority Police. Call NYPD. We got a couple hot ones here. We're gonna teach these guys a lesson. Close your eyes and surrender to the government state. In Cuomo and de Blasio. A couple were planning on traveling from Manhattan to the Brooklyn neighborhood of Bay Ridge via city ferry. The captain of the ferry instructed the husband and the wife to put on face masks or disembark from the vessel. The couple refused to do either. Face masks have been mandatory on New York City ferries since April 17th. For approximately 45 minutes, the couple went back and forth with ferry employees about wearing a mask until two NYPD cops showed up. How did they show up on the ferry? They fucking airdropped in like Batman? If the ferry was moving, the cops just showed up? The couple asserted they were exempted from a state face mask mandate because they suffered from a medical condition. Yeah, living in New York City is its own medical condition now. PTSD. Police asked to see proof they had a medical condition, but they reportedly refused. He's shaming us, the maskless man reported. What? The maskless man? This is turning into a Phantom. He's shaming us, the maskless man reportedly said, because we can't wear a mask, we're being discriminated against. Well, you heard of racial problems. This is macial. Mask combined with racial. This is a macial issue. If we were fucking black, I can guarantee you that guy would never come out and tell us to put a mask on, she allegedly said, according to a Gothamist reporter, Jake Offenhartz, who documented the mask standoff and eventual arrest of the couple. Was Jake airdropped into with the two NYPD guys? Right, because Black Lives Matter, the husband allegedly added. This has been going on since March, and my husband is fucking pissed off, the woman said, allegedly. Every time I have to commute to Manhattan, it's a fucking process. This isn't my F-bombs, okay? I don't get charged for these. These are quotes. After a brief moment of resisting, the man was handcuffed, and the passengers on the ferry erupted in applause. Oh, yes, all the Karens.
Finally, get him. Oh, that guy's a menace. He's not wearing a dirty diaper on his face.
De Blasio alone can make my song take flight. After a brief moment, the couple were removed from the ferry, and the crowd could be heard yelling, "Thank you, NYPD. Thank you. Thank you for not splitting my head open this time. Thank you. Thank you for not beating me down." A New York Police Department spokesman said the couple got a summons for disorderly conduct. All that for that. Bullshit. The fucking Phantom of the Opera will get a summons, too.
And your face mask is only covering half of your face, and it's not made of cloth. It's like a clay. Get the NYPD on the phone. This is bullshit. This guy's wearing a cape and a fucking hat. Says he's the Phantom. We're not putting up with this guy.
New headline. Watch. Protesters in Pittsburgh descend on elderly diners, drink their beer, scream obscenities. Fuck the white people, in quotes. Not my quote. Their quote. What's the song we got for this? Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh will pay our respects to Sister Sledge. It's a Pittsburgh Pirates song way back when. Willie Stargell, those Pittsburgh Pirates. We are family. Back when the Pirates actually played baseball, I don't know what they do now. Is it a professional softball team? No one knows. Does it matter when the Steelers walk down the street or across the parking lot, I guess? Black Lives Matter demonstrators converged on elderly diners Saturday in Pittsburgh, drinking their beverages, shouting obscenities, and smashing glasses in a rage. The ongoing protests in some cities against police brutality and in support of Black Lives Matter movement have clocked it at more than 100 days. According to media reports, a parade of demonstrators charged down Pittsburgh streets on Saturday screaming, "Fuck the white people," and more at outdoor diners. A video highlighted by outlets shows a crowd swarming a restaurant's outdoor dining space, which was rife with people eating and dining. Isn't that what they do? This is incredible journalism. There's a video on our website on the news story of this. The protesters begin to swear, shouting, "Fuck the white people that built the system." Doesn't really rhyme, but, you know, hey, what the hell? It's Pittsburgh. It's what rhymes with yins?
Yins on a binge.
One demonstrator with a bullhorn also proceeded to tell the patrons that were dining outdoors that they were an embarrassment. In the video, a woman wearing a Nazi Lives Don't Matter t-shirt can be seen striding up to a group of elderly people. Nazi Lives Don't Matter? Who's making that t-shirt? They give that out at the DNC convention? The unidentified woman then swipes the elderly woman's beer from the table and swigs it down as demonstrators cheer. Yeah, she thought it was a good idea until she found out it was Iron City Light. She's still having stomach pains. In the background, the sound of glass shattering is heard as protesters chant, "Fuck the police," and "No justice, no peace." Oh, there it is. We got it back. No justice, no peace. What rhymes with Primanti Brothers? We're tired of all you white mothers. Let's go over to Permani Brothers.
Primanti Brothers is technically racist because of the use of the word brothers.
We are family. If it can happen in Pittsburgh, folks, it can happen anywhere. Yince thought it was a good idea to go downtown. It wasn't. Uh-oh. We're back. It's back. A vicious smear job. Exclusive. The U.S. ambassador to France denies the Atlantic story on Trump and besmirching veterans. The U.S. ambassador to France and Monaco, Jamie McCourt, told Breitbart News exclusively on Monday that the Atlantic story about the President Donald Trump allegedly bashing troops is not true. Ambassador McCourt was there the day President Trump's team called off the trip to the cemetery in France because of inclement weather. She's the latest U.S. official who was actually present at the event to publicly deny the Atlantic's accounts of events, which is based entirely on anonymous sources. Needless to say, I never spoke with the Atlantic, and I can't imagine who would, McCourt told Breitbart. In my presence, POTUS... Who did she talk to at Breitbart? I thought everybody was getting indicted over there. It's a joke. Take it easy. I'm allowed to make indictment jokes. I'm in the club. In my presence, POTUS has never denigrated any member of the U.S. military or anyone in service to our country. And he certainly did not that day either. Let me add, he was devastated to not be able to go to the cemetery. In fact, the next day, he attended and spoke at the cemetery in pouring rain. The court's denial regarding the Atlantic comes after former White House Deputy Chief of Staff Zach Fuentes, a top confidant of former Chief of Staff John Kelly, denied the story earlier. In addition to Fuentes, everybody's coming out. Okay, we know that. All these people are coming out. Blah, blah, blah. We know the story was bullshit.
Get the widow on the set. We need dirty laundry.
They need dirty laundry. That's what it's all about. Don Henley, thank you. One of my favorite songs, as people know. We'll keep coming back to it. Because it's always poignant. Story. Not the same Joe Biden. White House stenographer says former vice president's mental acuity has deteriorated. I said, is that even news? I don't even think that's news, is it? Let's ask Cypress Hill.
Trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
Joe Biden's former White House stenographer said the vice president's public speaking ability has deteriorated significantly since leaving office to the point where he is not the same Joe Biden. It's a complete difference from what he was in 2017. Mike McCormick, who worked as a White House stenographer for 15 years and with Biden from 2011 to 2017, he told the Washington Free Beacon in an interview. He's lost a step and doesn't seem to have the same mental acuity as he did 4 years ago. He doesn't have the energy. He doesn't have the pace of his speaking, McCormick said. He's a different guy. McCormick, who often traveled with Biden and transcribed his speeches. I think he transcribed some of those speeches. I think he spelled plagiarism wrong. Allegedly. That's a joke. Transcribed his speeches, public conversations with foreign leaders, and off-the-record media briefings with official White House records. Also recorded conversations of Biden with himself. Said the vice president had a talent for connecting with audiences when he was in office and almost always veered off script from his pre-written speeches. Yeah, I remember he's like, you see that guy back there? You see that guy back there in the uniform? carrying the suitcase. He has all the nuclear codes. That's the football he's carrying. He has all the nuclear codes, that guy. So he's with me all the time. He's like, oh, thanks for pointing the guy out, the guy with the briefcase. Thanks, Joe. But one of my favorites is when he was at a political event. And you know how they do, like, shout-outs to state, whatever, state assemblyman or state senator or something? He said, Dick, get up and take a bow. You've done a great job putting this event together. I'm paraphrasing. Get up and take a... Dick, you out there? The crowd's like, Dick's in a wheelchair! Oh, Dick, he can't get up. God love him. God love you, Dick. I mean, the guy was in a wheelchair, okay? And Biden's telling him to stand up and take a bow. Biden's physical stamina and cognitive health have come under scrutiny during the 2020 election due to a series of speaking appearances in which the 77-year-old has appeared to lose his train of thought, struggle to finish the sentence, or forgotten where he is. He just make a big joke out of it and go straight from the hip. And notice, he's not doing that anymore, he said. He read that Democratic National Committee speech verbatim. It's not Joe Biden anymore, according to McCormick. In the recent interviews, Biden seems to have been reading directly from a teleprompter when answering questions, including instructions from his staff, such as end quote and top line message. He just reads a end quote, top line message, parentheses, pause for effect, smile, tilt head. He's insane in the membrane. Come and try to snatch my crops. These pigs wanna blow my house down. Head underground to the next town. They get mad when they come to raid my pad. And I'm out in the night to spend. Yes, I'm the pirate pilot of this ship. If I dip with the ultraviolet. Texts are coming in. It's gonna be big Wednesday podcast, so I have to read these things when they come in because time is running down here. We got a lot of things that could go either way. We're going to put in the big Wednesday podcast. So pardon my brief delay there. However, we are working for a living here. And that's what happens. It's another one. I will read that when we are finished. Headline. 1,000 people double voted in Georgia primary and they faced 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. Oh, man. Let's go down to Georgia. Find out what's going on here. As many as 1,000 Georgians voted twice in the state's June 9th primary. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced on Tuesday, which is a felony, that he vowed to prosecute. A double voter knows exactly what they're doing, diluting the votes of each and every voter that follows the law. Raffensperger said during a press conference at the state capitol, those that make the choice to game the system are breaking the law, and the law, as Secretary of State, I will not tolerate it. Double voting is punishable by 10 years in prison and a fine up to $100,000. Raffensperger said that the voters sent in absentee ballots, but then also voted in person. Oh, that's not allowed? He's going to jail for voting twice in Georgia. This is why the devil went down to Georgia. It wasn't a fiddle in his hand. It was a bag of absentee ballots. In a post-primary examination, the double votes were detected. About 150,000 people who requested absentee ballots showed up at polling places on Election Day, often because they never received their absentee ballots in the mail or decided to instead vote in person. Of those 1,000 people, Of those 150,000 people, I think I should say, 1,000 of those voters had returned their absentee ballots to county election offices, and poll workers also allowed them to vote in person. These guys, let me guess, Democrats? Just a wild guess. I think it's a safe guess. The double votes did not alter the outcome of any races, Raffensperger said. With Democrats pushing for nationwide vote by mail, where ballots are mailed to every registered voter, more reports are emerging about the problems with such a system. For instance, a man in California last month pleaded guilty to charges that he fraudulently cast his dead mother's ballots in 3 different elections. Jesus God Almighty. Let me take a drink. My 16-ounce glass of water is getting low, which must mean that we're nearing the end of the show. That's pretty much how I know we go from one thing to another here. It's the little things that I pay attention to while I'm trying to read and think of funny things to say, stupid things to say, or trying to stay composed without losing my shit. Headline, New Jersey is taking down U.S. flags from bridges installed after the 9/11 attacks, and residents are outraged. 9/11 anniversary coming up on Friday. Wow, I can't believe this is happening. They got those along the turnpike. I always see those along the turnpike. Like the overpasses of the turnpike, they're taking them down. Oh, we better ask Bruce what's going on in his home state. Bruce, you there? After nearly 20 years, New Jersey Turnpike Authority has changed course and is taking down the U.S. flags installed on the overpasses in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. Local residents are fuming. New Jersey Turnpike Authority appreciates and applauds patriotism, especially when people pay their ridiculous fucking tolls. We try to express patriotism ourselves every day by maintaining dozens of American flags at properties in our right of way, office buildings, toll plazas, service areas, maintenance facilities, state police buildings, warehouses, mafia graves. Those flags are treated with the utmost respect by the Turnpike Authority. They are flown on suitable staffs. They are illuminated at night. They are lowered to half staff when the state is in mourning. The state's in mourning now, right? Your civil liberties. How are the flags at half staff? Oh, Murphy has them at half staff because he's stealing your civil liberties. So I don't understand what this stupid statement is from the New Jersey Turnpike Authority. Who gives a fuck what you do? Why are you taking the flags down? They can't afford a $10 flag anymore. Everybody on the turnpike has to pay $45, but they can't afford a $10 flag. The longstanding policy of the New Jersey Turnpike Authority has been to prohibit the display of any flags, signs, or banners by private parties on Turnpike Authority property. I still don't know what they're saying. The statement went on to explain that the agency would not continue maintaining the flags, so they would have to be taken down. It'll be replaced with a communist flag, Governor Murphy's communist flag. While we hope that everyone who wants to display the American flag finds a suitable location to do so, we believe that limiting the flags displayed on the Turnpike Authority property to ones hung and maintained by the Turnpike staff is the best way to assure that all flags in the Turnpike and Parkway right-of-way are treated with respect they deserve. There's a lot of respect on the Turnpike and on the Parkway. You notice that. Try cutting somebody off. You find out how much respect there is. In some cases, officials replaced the U.S. flags with a sign that read, "Placement of signage or items of any nature on this structure is strictly prohibited." Fucking Jersey. A lost cause. Shut up, Bruce. Stop fucking whining. I'm actually going to play some Bruce tonight. Some more Bruce. A serious situation headline. Serious situation. Chief Justice John Roberts will decide the 2020 election. Dick Morris predicts. Everybody remembers Morris. Oh, let's go back to some Bruce. We're talking about, oh, you know what? Since we're talking about Chief Justice John Turncoat Roberts, did I say that? Let's go back to some Bush, since he was appointed by that idiot George Bush. How about some glycerin? Because that's what this guy's been, glycerin. We'll play some glycerin. I was going to play maybe some more Bruce. I have Bruce's brilliant disguise picked out for John Roberts. Disguised as a conservative, but he's really a crazy Democrat, crazy liberal. Changed my mind. He votes liberal every time. Another gift from the dopey Bush family. Unbelievable. Former Clinton campaign advisor Dick Morris predicted during a Sunday interview that the 2020 presidential election is going to drag out because of mail-in voting, end up being decided by Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. As Breitbart reported, Morris told the Cats Roundtable host John Katsimatidis. Try to say that. Try to spell that in National Spelling Bee.
Can you use that in a sentence? How many syllables?
While he believes it will appear that Trump wins in a landslide on election night, Democratic officials in swing states will manage in subsequent days to discover millions of mail-in ballots in favor of Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Regarding whether the election's fallout will lead to civil war, Morris said, "Well, there certainly will be a major conflict. I hope there won't be civil war, and it's serious enough that I don't take your question metaphorically." The blue states' governors are mailing out tens of millions of ballots, and they're going to be returned with a vote on them, probably for Biden, Morris continued, and those people will not go to the polls to vote on Election Day. So what you're probably looking at is that you're going to have an election night report that Trump carried all of the potential swing states. Yeah. Surprise. And they'll say that Trump has 330 to 350 electoral votes and won a landslide, Morris went on. And then, day after day, week after week, just saying the total's going to come down, right? Trump's electoral votes and popular votes will come down as Biden's increase. Let's play a little come down from Bush instead of glycerin. Since Mr. Morris is talking about things coming down, we'll play come down. They're going to find another million ballots here, another half million there, another quarter of a million in another place. And gradually, these Democratic liberal secretaries of state who are in charge of the election in most of the blue states will say, "Oh, well, we're sorry. It turns out Biden carried Wisconsin, not Trump." Morris foretold that then the Trump people will sue. But that suit will have to be in state court. The state court judges are largely liberal, largely Democrat, and they're going to say, "Oh, we rule in favor of the state. Biden carried it." Then they'll probably go up to the federal courts, and the U.S. Supreme Court eventually will make the decision. This sounds like a replay of 2000, right? What did that last for? 30 days? 39 days? That was like a goddamn soap opera. Some of you younger kids may not remember that. The U.S. Supreme Court will eventually make the decision, Morris said. And then the entire election will be in the hands, literally, of John Roberts. That's fucking depressing. Let's hope not. Morris continued, the Democrats certainly, if they feel they've legitimately are losing the election, are going to use the excuse of the COVID virus. Nobody can come out and vote in person, they claim, and to mail-in ballots, and they're going to deliberately game the system by sending in millions and millions of mail-in ballots for people that don't exist or have already voted. We just read the story where people can game the system. And the states will not verify the signatures because they are under the control of Democrats, Morris added. And the courts will validate that process because they're controlled by Democrats. This falls under the heading of it's all rigged. It's one of my favorite headings. And it is all rigged, by the way. Keep an eye out for the big Wednesday podcast coming later today. We appreciate all your support, especially on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, the two platforms where subscriber only. You get our video podcast, the More Pain show we're just coming off of, Pain After Dark show, all the other intel that's shared on those platforms with the chatter and the intel and the comments, which I really enjoy reading on a daily basis. And I learn a lot from what's going on Main Street, all over the country, all over the world. We have people now all over the world on those forums, comment forums on there. So we appreciate the direct support. It goes a long way, as I've said previously. And we'll be back in a couple hours with the big Wednesday podcast. We'll be breaking some news on there like we usually do. So thanks for your support on there, and keep an eye out for that. And again, if you can, well, we know you can, retweet the stories we do when it comes to the podcast, when we have good stories on the podcast and breaking news. We've been on a pretty good streak here for about almost a year. We're running 9 months. The inaugural first 9 months has been really crazy. Please feel free to share that stuff so we can kind of do an end run around these social media overlords that keep kicking us in the head on a regular basis. I'll see you later today. Take care and God bless you.
Have you ever seen a one-trick pony in the field so happy and free? If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. I come and stand at every door, and you've seen me. I always leave with less than I had before, and you've seen me. But I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more? Have you ever seen a scarecrow filled with nothing but dust and weeds? If you ever seen that scarecrow, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-armed man punching at nothing but the breeze? If you ever seen a one-armed man, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. Come and stand at every door, and you've seen me. I always leave with less than I had before, and you've seen me. But I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor.
tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more? These things that have comforted me, I drive away. This place that is my home, I cannot stay. My only faith's in the broken bones and bruises I display. Have you ever seen a one-legged man trying to dance his way free? If you ever seen a one-legged man, then you've seen me.